sumo and army. Lira. Lira.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Flock Talk. I'm your host, everything underscore Ravens on Instagram. Make sure you give this podcast a good review on Spotify or Apple, whatever you listen to. I am joined here today by the best scouting page on Instagram at NFL Scout. How are you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good. So, week till draft day. The Ravens currently have the number 30 overall pick. Who are some prospects that you like for the Ravens?
Yeah, so I was actually going through and I was looking at like the top 30 visits because I was like trying to put together a mock draft today. And I got to say, like, Ravens fans, for a team that is consistently picking like after pick 20 because they're in the playoffs every year or at least very successful, like, you guys are so into the draft. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, but anyways, I just wanted to say that first. But when I was looking at like some guys, I think the big one is like Chop Robinson is the guy that fits in well. The Penn State edge rusher, I think he's just a perfect fit for the Ravens defense. And, you know, you can never have enough good edge rushers. They kind of already have some familiarity with, I don't know how to say his name, but I just say Odafe Owe, I guess.
Yeah, it is Odafe Owe. You got it right.
Was like, God, because I was like looking at how to pronounce it. I was like, I'm not going to get that right. But I was looking at him, and I'm like, you know, there's some familiarity. Northeast guy, Penn State. He was originally from Maryland before he transferred, so I know the Ravens are familiar with him. And then I would say kind of like the two outside shots from there are Xavier Worthy and Jordan Morgan. You know, the Ravens moving off of Morgan Moses is kind of a telltale that they're going to pick a tackle at some point, whether it's in the first round or still relatively early, whether it be like in the second or third round where they're picking the 60s and 90s.
Yeah, so when it comes to the first round for me, I think all signs right now are pointing to us taking an offensive tackle. I think the board is set where this tackle class, it's pretty deep, but to me, it's more so top-heavy. The Ravens obviously don't have a chance at getting an all or Fashanu or Fontenu, Fuaga, whoever. But I think when you're looking at that 30th pick, I think the Ravens would love to get either Tyler Guyton or Amarius Mims there. But Jordan Morgan could also be an option. I've also heard a little bit of smoke about Kingsley Suamatea, the guy from BYU. But I don't know if 30 would be a bit too rich for that.
Yes, yeah, so when we talk about Kingsley, another guy that was also in the portal, Oregon to BYU, kind of like my notes on him, just looking at him, I just said, like, he plays, like, with a very wide base, and, like, he's very, like, thick. He has good movement skills for his size. Like, he's a good athlete with long arms, but he struggles to reach against, like, quicker guys at the second level. And the Ravens are okay with that, so I would see, like, if they wanted to go ahead and pick him because he's more of a linear mover, and they've been okay with that with guys like Morgan Moses or Orlando Brown, like, in the past. But I feel like it would kind of be a mistake for Kingsley to be, like, thrown in the mix, like, the Ravens at 30. Like, it'd be a little bit of a reach. But, like, if you can get him on day two, stash him and develop him, like, that'd be great versus throw him in the Wolves year one. Could be a bad idea. He's a great athlete, don't get me wrong, but the Senior Bowl tape kind of showed that he's a little bit underdeveloped and he might need some time. And being behind Ronnie Staley is, like, a great idea.
Yeah, in a way, he kind of reminds me of Tevin Jenkins coming out of Oklahoma State a few years ago. I think he's pretty big, pretty physical, plays with kind of that menace mentality. But you definitely see the rawness on tape with him. He kind of has a tendency to lean in the guys, which I don't necessarily like. But I'd kind of be iffy on taking him at 30. But if the Ravens feel like there's no chance that he falls to 62 and he's the best guy available for them at offensive tackle, I would not be shocked necessarily if they take him at 30.
Yeah, like in this class, like in recent years, if you're picking at 30, like you're getting guys that are like not going to get like second contracts. And regardless of like where the Ravens stand on like either side of that, like they're going to get good enough value at the minimum. Right. And you even brought up Tyler Guyton before. Like that's a guy that moves like a tight end at tackle. Would kind of like fit the Ravens profile, like very flexible, great balance, like good foot speed, very raw again. And that's kind of like the continuous thing you're going to hear about a lot of those tackles. But like for the Ravens at this point, like over the past few years, they poured so much draft capital into those receivers, as you know, and then some, signing guys like Odell. And, you know, even if you want to throw like Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely in that discussion, like same thing there. They've just pumped like a ton of resources into receiver. And I know that that's like kind of the popular thing maybe for people outside of Ravens fans. Like, would Ladd McConkey be a great fit? Sure. Like, I'm sure that he would. But what the Ravens need and where the match is going to be made is that offensive tackle, as you said. I'd be interested to see if they go after either like Patrick Paul in the second round, maybe like Blake Fisher in the third. Like, if they don't get a guy that they're comfortable with. But I would love to see like Amarius Mims at that pick if he's there. I doubt he is. He might end up on another AFC North team. But there's a lot of like great fits for the Ravens in that kind of 30 to 40 range.
Yeah, so back to Tyler Guyton. I live in Norman, Oklahoma. I go to the University of Oklahoma. So I have heard a ton about Tyler Guyton. Our offensive line coach, Bill Beedenbo, one of the best in the nation. He has kind of always raved about Guyton's potential just because of the traits he has. And one thing that kind of strikes me about Guyton is I think his run blocking needs a lot of work, but I think his pass blocking is pretty sound. The only thing I really have an issue with pass blocking wise is he kind of is susceptible, however you say it, to inside counters at times. I've seen that with him. But like you said, his movement skills are there. And Guyton's a guy that I think can play right or left tackle. He did play right tackle in college, so he's obviously has the reps there. But Oklahoma's quarterback last year and the year before that, Dylan Gabriel, was a left-handed quarterback, so he was protecting his blind side at that right tackle position. I kind of look at it similar to what Jedrick Wills was doing at Alabama with Tua, since Tua was a left-handed quarterback. And the Browns kind of used that logic, and they plugged Wills in at left tackle. So that's one thing I really like about Guyton, is I believe he can play both tackle spots.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that you brought that up, because not a lot of guys in this class can be able to say that they have that both side versatility, right? Like, when you look at Joe Alt, like, if we're starting from top to bottom, right? Alt has started all 3 years at left tackle. Tre Fatuanu, like, could flip inside, could not. Latham, he's played on the right side. Fuega could be an inside guy. Fashanu's only played left. Like, Tyler Guyton's one of the guys we were looking at. It's like he could play either or side, and that's not a ton of guys in the class can say that they have that kind of versatility for the Ravens. But I'd be interested. I don't think it's in their plans, but kind of when I go through the mock drafts, like when I was doing it earlier today, I was just looking, and no matter what, a tackle like always slips through, whether it's Guyton or Fashanu or Fuega, like whoever it is, one of them is there in the 20s. I don't think the Ravens would pull the trigger, but it'd be interesting to see if, you know, Fuega's on the board there at 20 or 21, or even Fashanu in a crazy scenario, or Mims potentially if he gets past the Bengals, if they would trade up. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
You see, typically the Ravens have never really been the trade-up team. The only times they've really done it is for a quarterback, whether that was Bowler, Flacco, Lamar Jackson. But, yeah, I've kind of been intrigued by a potential trade-up option if the Ravens really want an offensive tackle in this class. And the biggest reason for this is the Ravens already have 9 picks in this year's draft. Plus, they're going to get 4 comp picks next year just because of the amount of free agent losses they've had. So if a tackle they really like starts to slip, maybe they do move up in the 20s and part ways with some of those mid-round picks, considering the draft capital they're going to have next year as well.
Yeah, and people don't understand sometimes how big, like, that comp pick formula is. If the Ravens were in a situation where they wanted to reach in and maybe grab a third-round pick from 2025 and ship it up, it would make all the sense in the world, because you're talking about the potential that they're going to get it back anyways. It seemed kind of like over-leveraging a little bit. But when you talk about the talent and, like, how deep the pool is at a position of need, it's almost like, you know, as you said, they normally do it for quarterbacks. Sometimes you got to do uncharacteristic things, your organization. Like, I think the Steelers signing Russell Wilson and trading for Justin Fields, like, even back-to-back in those moves, like, that's uncharacteristic for them, right? And no matter which way you want to slice it, like, it could be an uncharacteristic thing maybe for the Ravens to trade up. But if they're really in love with a guy and they're like, hey, we have the picks to spend, we don't plan on signing, like, you know, as you said, 9 guys out of this draft class, and potentially next year we're talking about 10, it would make sense for them to either trade up in the first round if a guy fell, or even in a second, if they feel like a guy that maybe they were on the fence about in round 1 but didn't think he was worth it, or they didn't have a high enough grade. Now you're talking, if Patrick Paul's there in round 2 and they're like, you know, we missed out on Guyton in round 1. We need Paul in round 2 to go ahead and fill that hole. It would be a really interesting conversation whether they trade up in 1 or 2 or not at all.
Yeah, and if the Ravens end up not going offensive tackle round 1 and Patrick Paul is kind of there in the 40s, let's say, in round 2, I'd definitely be a fan of potentially moving up considering our future draft capital. But with wide receiver, it's always a topic every offseason with the Ravens. You can't go a single offseason without some sort of Ravens wide receiver buzz. In this year's class, I think at 30, you definitely got some good options with Adonai Mitchell or Ladd McConkey. I've already kind of made a post about that. I personally think Ladd fits better for the Ravens than Adonai Mitchell, just because Ladd's kind of that separator over the middle, which is always kind of the play style that Lamar has preferred. But in the second round, I think there's a lot of options there too. Who are some of your favorite wide receivers in that 30 range or 62 range for the Ravens?
So when we're talking at like the 30 range, right, you're talking about Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey. I don't think they've met with him, but Xavier Leggett, I feel like, is also in that category. Now, in round 2, possibly like in a trade-up, you're talking about Malachi Corley. And that's really interesting, like going through the Ravens' top 30 visits, is them meeting with Malachi Corley, because the teams that he's met with, right, Steelers, Cowboys, Browns, Ravens, that's what I see pulled up. Maybe he added others after that post is made. But to me, that's interesting because that would be a guy that they'd target around the 60s. But would he make it due to all those teams pick ahead of them, right, in the second round? So would they trade up? I don't know. Like we said, it makes sense on paper. But I think that Malachi Corley is like the guy that's sticking out to me as like he bring a really different element that they've been missing. And when you talk about an offense with Zay Flowers, Corley, Andrews, Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, like we're talking about an offense that can beat you every which way imaginable. Now, I don't think Xavier Worthy is a bad pick at 30 for them, right? And I'm sure that some people in the media are going to mock that. But I mean, as you said, every year this is talked about, and every year it kind of dissipates as we're in October. But, you know, Xavier Worthy wouldn't be a bad pick. It would kind of, again, give him a vertical threat, someone that could stretch the field really well, carry those vertical routes. But to me, I'm really intrigued by Malachi Corley, and then kind of later on, like just some guys that I like that would fit them. Malik Washington is a guy. I think that Luke McCaffrey later on is a potential fit. Maybe Jermaine Burton pending the off-the-field stuff. But I think Malachi Corley is kind of the one that Ravens fans should circle, because if they do end up trading up in round two, like if they get a tackle at 30, let's just say they take Tyler Guyton, like coming out of the first 2 days of the draft with Malachi Corley and Tyler Guyton, I mean, that's a home run no matter who you are.
Yeah, so Corley kind of intrigues me a bit. When I watch his film, I'm not making this comparison just because this guy's one of the best in the league, but I do see some Deebo Samuel in him, just the way he kind of moves with the ball in his hands. And yeah, that's the only real notable receiver the Ravens had a top 30 visit with besides Worthy. But another guy I look at in the second round that I kind of like for the Ravens is Roman Wilson from Michigan. I think he's another one of those kind of route runner separator types that Lamar Jackson typically works pretty well with. Plus, he's a Michigan guy, so I'm sure they've had plenty of conversations about him as well.
Yeah, that's interesting you brought that up too, because we talk about Roman Wilson, the guy that he reminds me a lot of is Tyler Lockett. We go ahead, we're talking about a guy that's twitched up, he's lean, holds his weight well, he's well-versed at the catch point, he finds ways to win later in the route. That's a kind of guy that typically we've seen fit that mold, as you've said. Regardless of, like, how big the Rashad Bateman hype is every year, that would be a good fit. I wonder for them, like, again, Keon Coleman doesn't fit that type of build, but I would wonder if he's there at that pick, if they would consider it, just because it would he would be something that they've never really had under Lamar Jackson, a guy that wins the catch point. He doesn't separate at a high level, but it'd be really interesting to see him kind of in that mix of receivers.
Oh, Keon Coleman's someone that this fan base is extremely high on. I mean, a lot of people are still wanting him at 30. I don't necessarily think he's going in the first round at this point. But, yeah, at 62, if he's there, me personally, I would run the card up for him. I know he doesn't necessarily fit how Lamar's played in the past, but I just think he's an athletic specimen, just the way he plays like a power forward. Kind of reminds me of, in the way of how Vincent Jackson played, rest in peace, but just go up and get it. He'll box guys out, really just out-muscle them for the ball. So that would be a really intriguing guy for me.
Yeah, and I know that the Ravens have kind of, under DaCosta, they've had a little bit more variety in guys. I mean, I absolutely love watching his press conferences. Like, that press conference he had about the ice cream in his office when he was about to cut the guy, like, oh my God, that was amazing. Sorry, I'm getting off topic. But anyways,
Kenny,
like,
Young.
Yeah, is that who it is?
Yeah, that's exactly who it was. It couldn't have been anyone else.
Yeah, like I heard that story. I'm like, God, this is so funny. Like, yeah, he's just openly kind of talking about that story. But I like how transparent he is in his press conferences, and kind of what you could tell is that, like, regardless of what they go after round one, because it's kind of zeroing in, as you said, like offensive tackle, outside shot, like Chop Robinson, like as we've been hearing Xavier Worthy, but like it seems like receivers still in their plans at some point, and I think that Ravens fans shouldn't panic if maybe they don't even pick one in the first three rounds, just because of how they build that roster from the inside out, right? They've never been a fan of pouring a ton of draft capital or resources in general to these skill positions. So I would just say that Ravens fans have trust in EDC because he knows what he's doing, and proven with his track record, especially after the Zay Flowers pick, is that he can get it right.
Oh, yeah. With the receiver position, I mean, Eric DaCosta has definitely been way more willing to take a receiver high than Ozzie Newsome really ever was. I mean, Eric DaCosta has taken a receiver first round in three out of his five drafts. Now, if he ends up taking a receiver at 30 this year, that would be four out of six first-round receivers for Eric DaCosta. So that would be a little bit rich, but I could definitely see it. one final position I would like to touch on just a little bit, just because this is a position that I think is a really sneaky need for the Ravens, and that is cornerback. At 30, I don't really see a guy that I would like there besides Cooper DeJean. If he falls, he kind of fits that Ravens mold, tough, versatile, instinctive player. But who are some of them second, third, fourth round corners that you like? Because I think that's more in the realm of when the Ravens might take a corner.
Yeah, we're talking about round two, right? This is like an incredibly, like, we're talking about where is the draft deep at? Everybody's going to lead with the offensive line first, right? You're going to hear the O-line, the receivers, the quarterbacks. But on the defensive side, we're talking corner is extremely deep. We could possibly see five guys come off that first round board, and there's still guys behind them. A guy that's been drawing a ton of hype is Andrew Phillips from Kentucky. I think that he would be a good fit for the Ravens. He's not particularly long, but he moves really well, and he could bump down to the nickel. He could play in dime. He could play inside. He doesn't always diagnose the correct way, but he's in position, and he's physical, and he's willing to come up and strike people in the run game. I like that. Kyrie Jackson from Oregon, kind of a typical guy based on, like, the body type, right, that the Ravens would like. And then after that, some guys that I like, TJ Tampa, Renardo Green, Kalen Carson. And now, after both of these guys underperformed at the combine, their pro days, Enos Rakestraw and Kamari Lassiter from Mizzou in Georgia probably could even be in that third round discussion based off of what happens. But guys for the Ravens, I think Kyrie Jackson, Andrew Phillips, TJ Tampa, you got to have circled.
Oh, yeah. TJ Tampa is always someone that I really like. And as you mentioned them too, Enos Rakestraw, I remember when he was getting some first round hype. I see him as a second, third round guy, like you said now, but I really think he plays the way you want a Ravens corner to play. He's going to be physical. He's going to try to get his hands on you. So I really like him, but all those options, yeah, they're great players. And I think second, third, fourth round is when you're really going to see a corner for the Ravens.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd be wondered, like, to see, it's kind of shifted out, but if Cooper DeJean is there at that pick, I think that they run up the card. And that was kind of, for me, like a popular thing to slot for the Ravens, because I'm like, wow, a really talented guy falls to 30 from Iowa. Like, this seems like the typical Ravens pick. He's kind of out of their equation. He might be a little too rich for 30 at this point. I'd be pretty surprised if he was there at 30 now. But again, like, probably what could have been, you could reminisce on, but he would have been a good fit for them.
Yeah, with the DeJean thing, it kind of, in a way, reminds me of Kyle Hamilton if the Ravens were going to take him. Because the Ravens, when they took Hamilton, they didn't necessarily need Hamilton at the time, but he was just too damn good of a player that you were going to run that card up if he fell to you. And I kind of feel that way about DeJean. But like you said, I don't see him falling to 30. I honestly think his minimum is probably the Packers at 25. But if he's somehow there, I think the Ravens would have a lot to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, at least for the Ravens at this point, like, what they've got circled, offensive tackle, corner, receiver, possibly like an edge rusher, but they've got their sights set. I don't think that there's going to be a surprise of them taking like a running back early or anything. I think in recent years, it's been more so, like you said, like, hey, like, they picked a receiver again early. Like, I don't think we're going to see a lot of, you know, smoke and mirrors from the Ravens. I think kind of with their top 30 visits and how they attack free agency, it's pretty black and white as to what they're going to do and what positions they're targeting. But it's interesting because the players is a different discussion, kind of, as we've talked about today.
Oh, yeah, I fully agree. But hey, man, I know you have a busy schedule. So I think just what we wanted to discuss on this episode, we kind of got it out. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. Do you have any final thoughts? Want to plug your socials, anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you guys could find me on Instagram at NFL Scout. I post on Twitter occasionally, not really, mostly just retweeting Tennessee stuff for the most part. But sometimes my likes or my mentions, I'm in some cool stuff at NFL Scout IG on Twitter. Yeah, I might have a mock draft sometime this week and then one more for the draft for Ravens fans want to check that out.
Yes, sir. So make sure y'all definitely pay attention to his content. Best draft guy on Instagram by far. I don't really think anyone else even compares. But yeah, it's best time of the year, draft season, baby. I can't wait.
For sure, it's going to be fun.